Welcome to the Conversations with Jesus podcast. I'm Johnny Lehman, a baptized man of God who has the amazing privileges of being a husband, father, and the pastor at Divine Savior Church in West Palm Beach, Florida. This podcast is designed to bring you the self-sacrificing love of Jesus found in the Bible through 15 to 20 minute episodes that focus on relevant life issues and what God has to say about them. Check out our website, DivineSaviorChurch.com, as well as our Facebook and Instagram pages to find out more about the incredible things God is doing through our church family. As always, we have some really significant stuff to unpack in the podcast this week. We've been in this new series called 1 Peter, The Living Hope of Easter. We've been going into this amazing book of the Bible and seeing what God's hope means for us. And so just to recap where we've been the last couple of weeks, the first week we talked about that gospel obsession that we have, that we can't help but obsess over the gospel because it really does change everything, knowing that Jesus lived, died, and rose for us. Last week we talked about how that gospel obsession then sets the tone for our pattern of living, how we want to follow our Savior, want to emulate our Heavenly Father because we love Him and we know how much He loves us. Well, this week we're building on that. We're talking about specifically what that holy life, how we grow in that, okay? So Jesus, right, He purified us and made us new. So it doesn't make sense to keep living the way that we used to, and so we want to live lives imitating Him, right? Loving the hard to love. So let's grow in our faith by continuing to be fed with His word. We want to devour it. He is building us into a building, the greatest building, a spiritual building, His church. And so the greatest building, it really has the greatest story. See, Jesus, we're going to find out today, He's our cornerstone, our foundation, and our purpose is to glorify God in the world around us with our lives, our words, and our witness. I'm really excited to get into this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Here's what Peter writes. Therefore, so thinking about the enduring word of the Lord that stands forever, he says, in light of that, that word that never changes, that speaks reality, he says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you've tasted, the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. This is the word of our God. I'm proud to say that I grew up a local channels kind of kid. Our family, for the longest time, didn't have cable or satellite, but we did have shows we loved to watch, and for a while, there was one that we never missed, called The Biggest Loser, which, by the way, is still going strong on the USA Network. If you've never seen it, it's a reality show where contestants who struggle with weight go through 30 weeks of intense training and healthy dieting to lose weight through various challenges and possibly win the title of the biggest loser. And as brutal as the training was, without fail, the new diet actually proved to be the more difficult struggle. Now, many of these contestants lived off fast food and desserts, many using food to mask a deeper psychological struggle. they desired to lose weight, and yet what they were feeding themselves consistently got in the way. And so that expression, you probably heard it before, you know, the expression, you are what you eat, it's pretty true. And not just with food. You are what you eat when it comes to what you're consuming spiritually, too. And what sets the tone for what you consume, how you live? It comes down to hope. Hope affects the mind, soul, and body. And Peter, he's going to show us in chapter 2 what real growth is all about by walking us through three questions. The first one, what growth do we ravenously desire? Second, how does that growth happen? And finally, why do we need this growth? So what growth do we ravenously desire? How does that growth happen? Why do we need this growth? Now, with this whole topic of growth, maybe you've noticed it's sort of reached a semi-divine status in our American society. You know, we're told through various media, if you're not growing intellectually, economically, socially, occupationally, you're at risk of losing, which comes straight from the postmodern author William Burroughs, who's credited to have said, if you're not growing, you're dying. So as you can imagine, we become addicted to anything we perceive as growth. And we choose to follow the social media influencer with the more followers, right? We choose to join the company that's opening the most branches. We choose a church based on who's adding more new people or who has the most energetic vibe and not as much on their core values, what they're actually teaching and preaching. Now, as you think about this, what do you think is underneath that growth addiction that we have as a culture? Well, overall, culturally, we've become very superficial, haven't we? You know, people increasingly misunderstanding growth as merely numerical or economic. That question, are you worth or is that worth my emotional, spiritual, and economic investment? But that being said, the drive we have for growth is actually a God-given gift. It's part of his design for humanity. But here again, what growth are we actually longing for the most? Well, Peter says to know what growth you're actually longing for the most, you need to think like a baby. Now, seriously, look at what he says. He says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now, get into the mind of a child with me for a second here. What happens when a newborn baby, fresh out of the womb, what happens when they're hungry? Well, they cry. And if you've had kids, you know they cry a lot. They are ravenous for nutrients. Not tomorrow, right here, right now. Babies want to grow. It's how they're wired to desire growth. But of course, a baby cannot will herself to grow 2 inches. No, but she desires the right nutrients so her body, designed for growth, can do what it was made to do. And so this milk is no fringe benefit, it's life or death. And so Peter, he's taking that analogy from everyday life and he applies it to your and my spiritual growth. Peter is saying, you've been born into a living hope, a new identity by God's grace. That's faith. And faith, like a newborn baby, is designed for growth. Real growth, growth as in growing closer to God, growth as in building up the Christian community, growth as in being hope bringers to this hopeless world. We as children of God want to grow. And what kind of growth do we desire? Well, Peter says, the growth you desire has to do with growing up in your salvation. Now, I'm guessing that invites a few questions, doesn't it? Maybe you're thinking, well, hold up a second. I thought my salvation was done, guaranteed, complete in Jesus. Is hope in Jesus uncertain somehow? I have to grow into it? What's the deal? Here's the deal. The scriptures speak of salvation in many ways. Salvation from earthly trials, salvation from sin, Satan, self, and death, salvation at the end of time. You have to look at the context. Now, Peter here, right, he's keeping a strong focus on the last day when Jesus returns. He's talking about growing up in your salvation in the sense that you're preparing. You want to be prepared for when Jesus comes back. He's saying, okay, you've been born into a living hope by God's grace. God's done it all for you, this unconditional love that we obsess over. He's saying, because you belong to God, how can we not want to live lives prepared for Jesus to come back, right? We want to keep growing in the hope we have in Jesus. And again, only the Holy Spirit can cause that growth, but we crave the pure milk of the Word because as Peter said at the end of chapter 1, right, everything else around us, the glories of this world, the grass withers, the flowers fall, right, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. We crave the Word because it gives us joy. gives peace. The word is the unchanging reality setting the tone for all we do. It gives us identity, empowers our God-given purpose. It gives continuity. It gives life, even when the circumstances around us are joyless, chaotic, and dark. So again, how can we not be ravenous in drinking this word milk like a baby craving milk, right? But you know as well as I do, as hard as it is to confess to you, Satan so often convinces us to search for spiritual nutrients in all the wrong places, doesn't he? I mean, all of us have go-tos for life nutrients. If we're going to be real about it, we do, especially when we're feeling deficient in some capacity of our lives. Have you noticed that? I mean, just think about this with me and be honest with yourself. When you experience sadness, disappointment, even happiness and joy or anger, is there an activity you first turn to? You know, is there something you need to have right away? What is that coping mechanism, if you will? Is it popularity? Is it looking for people to sustain you? Is it pleasure or substance, wanting an escape to cope? Is it respect? That even if you feel loveless, at least you know someone has a high opinion of you. Is it mindless distractions, TV, gaming, social media? It's here that something is revealed about humanity. See, all of us, no matter who you are, you have a ravenous desire for growth in relationships, and most of all, growth in hope. It's why what you put your hope in really is life or death. Without the right hope, forget coping. It's impossible to live. It's exactly why Satan desires nothing for you but hopelessness. And what does Satan do when you feel hopeless? He offers you not just empty spiritual calories, he offers you spiritual poison. But of course, his poison, it always has a bit of sugar because he knows for us to swallow it, it must have the taste of sweetness. And this is why Peter contrasts what tasting the word is like versus tasting the spiritual poison Satan offers you every day. He says about the word, "You've tasted that the Lord is good." And by good, Peter means you know what Jesus has done for you. Think about the gospel, how he loves you. Could you ask for anything more? But the other spiritual cuisine that's out there, it's contaminated by what? What does Peter say? Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. The very things Jesus has washed away from you with his holy, precious blood are what define what sin offers you. And Peter reminds us that God has thrown all of that off us. We long to grow closer to Jesus. We long for growth in trusting our God as he envelops our thoughts and lives with his hope. So if that's the hope we're ravenous for, hope in growing closer to God, how does that growth happen? It actually starts with understanding taste. Now, if you ever had the great privilege, and I mean that very sarcastically, of having COVID, and you went for a time without taste, you know what I'm talking about when I say that taste affects your appetite. Now, the first time of three that I had COVID, I remember how little I felt hungry because I didn't crave anything. I couldn't taste anything. Of course, it was probably the healthiest I ever ate. And yet there was no enjoyment in eating. Now, spiritually speaking, if we put our ultimate hope in anything but Jesus, if we cope with our disappointments with endless social media scrolling, social isolation, putting up walls, we'll only have joylessness. But you and I, as dear children of God, we've tasted the hope of Easter, and we can't get enough. We've tasted and seen time and again that the Lord is good, and so we crave the spiritual milk of the pure scriptures. In fact, it's why at Divine Savior, one of our core values, that we take all of God's word seriously, proudly standing firm on it. Right? We obsess over how precious Jesus is to us, how sweet the taste of the gospel is. In this way, right? The more you taste the Lord is good, the more you just, oh my goodness, that feast of the word, God's grace, it just makes you a Bible addict. Now, Edward Clowney, in his commentary on 1 Peter, he coined this when he wrote, "Christians must be addicted to the Bible." But here again, maybe you're wondering, you know, okay, that's great, but how can the Bible become so sweet that it's addictive? Now, maybe you've tried reading the Bible often, but you feel like you're not getting a lot out of it. And this is where Peter says taste. It's a present tense verb. In other words, he's saying, keep tasting this. Keep on tasting the word. This is crucial. He's saying, don't just taste it once, but like a baby, keep craving it. And even if you get frustrated when it seems like it's not enough, like a baby crying and struggling to eat at times, cry out to your Heavenly Father in prayer, and keep eating, and the sweetness will be there. And you know what's crazy? I think this is crazy. Even the way God wired us psychologically is helpful. Professor David Myers of Hope College, he's written a ton of psychological textbooks. He says this, that repetition fosters fondness, and repetition breeds belief. Here's a real-life example. Now, maybe you know the famous Reformation theologian Martin Luther. Well, there was a time in his life where he poured over the Bible, reading it over and over again, but it never seemed to be sweet. He felt judgment, despair, hopelessness over his sin time and again, but then the day came where the Holy Spirit did what he does best. At just the right time, the sweetness of the gospel came flooding into his life. And this is how Martin Luther described it. He said, "All at once, I felt that I had been born again and entered into paradise itself through open gates. Immediately, I saw the whole scripture in a different light." Now, how did that happen? It wasn't by sheer willpower, but by letting God speak through his word. Think of it this way. Imagine it was a scientific fact, which it's not, just to be very clear. This is just an exercise, right? So imagine with me that if you ate 4 ounces of Brussels sprout today, you'd remove any chance of having cancer. Now, how many of us would say, well, I don't really like the taste, or I tried it a couple times, but it's not worth it? No, none of us would say that. You know what would happen? You'd eat those Brussels sprouts every single day. And I bet over time you'd even savor it. Why? Because it would save. All of us, no matter where you are in the world listening to this, we all have the cancer of sin, far more lethal than even stage 4 cancer. But God has given us his life-giving word, a word that tells us of a grace that conquers every last effect of sin, always overcomes, and never leaves you. I can't help but think of the Christians who have battled dementia, that even in the darkness of their mind, there's a light that never goes out. Now, maybe you've been around a person who, again, suffering with Alzheimer's, for example, but when she hears "Our Father who art in heaven," or when he, struggling with another form of dementia, hears Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want," they're locked in. Because here's the wonder of the word. It's not you finding God there. It's through the word, your God finding you and preparing a feast for you. It's this delicacy of hope he feeds you. And as he fills you up, he does so you in turn can fill up others. So again, what growth do we ravenously desire? Growth in being close with God, close with Jesus, close with our Father in the Spirit, right? Triune God. And how do we receive that growth? It's by God coming to us through his word, that pure word milk of the Bible. Now that leads to our last question. Why do we need this growth? Well, this makes me think of Dolores. So during my time at the seminary, I got to lead worship services in a local nursing home. And I would wheel Dolores down to our makeshift chapel and take her back to her room afterward. And she always had her Bible right there on her nightstand. And one day I just happened to be looking that direction. And she said to me, "You know, I make sure, Johnny, to read the Bible every day. Because when one of those nurses asks me a question about Jesus, I'm going to be ready." Do you see what Dolores is teaching us about why we need this growth? It's because we're born for it. Again, God's hope is dynamic, and by faith, we have the gospel motivation to grow. It's who we are. And we need this growth for ourselves so we can share real hope to our hopeless world. It's what the church is here for. In fact, do you know the word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which means called out? That's exactly, we're called out ones, right? That's exactly what Peter said when he writes about who you are, who we are as Christians. He says, y'all, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out. There it is. There's the church word. Called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. See, we are ravenous for faith growth, ravenous for Jesus, ravenous to share hope. We want to share God's living hope, even if we get slandered, rejected, accused, because who does this make us like? The cornerstone that Peter talks about, right? Our Jesus. We're the new temple of God's presence, a spiritual building that God's hope goes out into the world, not through a golden building like in Solomon's time or a tabernacle. But it goes out through you and me. Now, what does that hope look like? Well, it looks like you praying for the bully who makes you scared to walk into the classroom. That hope looks like loving your cousin who has made a mess of her life and and brought the whole family with her. That hope looks like entering the awkwardness with a coworker who never misses a happy hour. That hope looks like responding to that person on social media who bashes all your posts with kindness. Or that hope looks like forgiving the friend who betrayed you. See, the world looks at all those things and says, why? Well, you know how Peter answers? Of course, we crave this hope growth because we love our Savior. And yet, there's something that we just can't shake as Christians, this dream that we obsess over. Not as much as we obsess over the gospel, but it's one that we just look forward to so much. See, Peter is saying the best part of the growth God gives us through his word is one day we'll get to see the impact God made through us. Because we obsess over the dream of seeing all those people we just mentioned, right? All those hard-to-love people we have in our lives. The dream we have is to see them standing before Jesus when he comes back and watching them receive a hug of unending joy. They're the reason why we hunger for this word, live in this hope, and share what makes life worth living, because we know how deeply our God loves us. We just get so excited to share that hope with others. What an amazing purpose we have. What an amazing life God has given to us, and what joy we have because we live in his living, dynamic, life-changing hope. Amen. I pray that this podcast is a blessing for you this week as you do live in that hope, as God brings you to those hard-to-love people, and because you're so ravenous for growing in his word, because you're so obsessed over what the gospel means for you, that it just overflows with joy. So thank you so much for listening this week, as always, and just, not as always, I appreciate any time you spend listening to it. It's an honor I don't deserve. Remember that every single day, right, you live for him, that ultimately his opinion is the one that matters, and you know how he sees you, as a blood-bought child that he loves with a never-ending love. God's richest blessings, you live for him now and always.